Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as we've already heard, today is World Fellowship Sunday. And we celebrate it along with our Anabaptist and Mennonite brothers and sisters in faith around the world. World Fellowship Sunday is always celebrated on a Sunday close to January 21. On that date, in 1525, the first Anabaptist baptism took place in Zurich, Switzerland. Cesar Garcia, General Secretary of Mennonite World Conference, offers us an invitation. He writes, "World Fellowship Sunday is an opportunity to remind our communities of faith that we are all part of one body made up of many tribes, languages, and nations. It is an invitation to visibly proclaim that now there is no discrimination among us on the basis of race, gender, or social status. It is a special day on which to show that we are living a new life in a new society, where we mutually support one another, carry those who suffer, serve the world, and interdependently learn from each other what it means to follow Jesus. On this day, we celebrate that in Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the cultural and national boundaries that separate us have been overcome by the cross. Our brothers and sisters in Kenya were the ones who selected the theme, Transforming Spirit, and the three short scripture passages that John read for us this morning from Joel and Acts and 1 Corinthians. Throughout the history of the Christian church, followers of Jesus have been transformed and renewed by the living presence of the Holy Spirit, they say. The Anabaptist movement of the 1500s was deeply shaped by the Spirit. Today, the churches of the global south are especially attentive to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. It is because of the work of the Holy Spirit that we as Christians in Africa and all over the world persevere with hope in the face of overwhelming challenges. So, what do we learn about the Holy Spirit from these three short verses that were selected? We see that everyone, young and old, men and women, even those who are oppressed and enslaved, everyone is included. "I will pour out my spirit on everyone," God says through the prophet Joel. Everyone will see visions and dream dreams. Everyone receives and is transformed by God's spirit. In the verse from Acts, we see that these spirit-inspired visions and dreams compel us outward to the ends of the earth. There is nowhere that is beyond the reach of the Spirit. And this, of course, includes our own communities and neighborhoods. The Spirit sends us to those far away and those who are just across the street. Through the Spirit, God gives us the power to reach out on God's behalf to those who are lonely, hurting, and in need of hope. The verse from 1 Corinthians reminds us that the Spirit claims all of us and transforms us into something new. In the Spirit, we who are so very different from each other are made into one body with one source of sustenance and inspiration. We are in this together with the help of the Holy Spirit. That is our one hope and our strength. This is the message of some Ndebele and Zulu proverbs shared by our sisters and brothers in southern Africa. Some of us are familiar with the Ubuntu paradigm that says, "Umuntu ngumuntu ngabuntu." In essence, a person is a person because of other people. That's kind of different when John was talking about how we are so self-centered. In our culture, it is. We're individualistic, but this proverb tells us, no, you are a person because you are in relationship with others. Ubuntu makes us love, respect, honor, recognize, and acknowledge the dignity of all people. This then makes us a unified whole. We cannot discriminate because we are one. Here's another one. I'm doing these in these languages, so bear with me. Ikota aikotayo. The cow licks the one that licks it. A cow cannot lick its own back to shoo off troublesome insects or remove dirt. It needs another cow to do that. And along the same line, izandla ziyagenzana. Hands wash each other. One hand cannot wash itself adequately. It needs the other to help it become clean. You get the drift. We need each other. We're in this together. And thank God, through the Holy Spirit, we are made one. Today, we remember our living connection to brothers and sisters in Christ around the world as we go about our life as a worshiping community here at Glennon Heights. As we accept Holly and Tyler into membership this morning, we are aware that though they join this particular congregation, they and we are part of something much bigger. As we receive communion, sharing the bread and the juice together, we will remember that we do this along with our sister congregations around the world, proclaiming Jesus' death and resurrection and celebrating our new covenant with God. As we bless Joel on his birthday, we will think about all the little children in every country and place who are also being held and encouraged and blessed by their congregations. As we eat our lunch before the business meeting, we will share our resources, the cost of one lunch each, with our global community. Through the Holy Spirit, we have been transformed. We have been made one. We are one. We will not allow our sisters and brothers in Christ to be disrespected and dismissed. We will not be held hostage by fear of the other. We will not let our lives be focused on self-protection, for we know that we need one another. There are many gifts to be shared. We are all stronger. Our world is stronger and safer when we work together. We become whom we are meant to be when we are in relationship with God and each other. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this is made possible. If you believe and I believe and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free. On this World Fellowship Sunday, listen to that wisdom from our African brothers and sisters. Let it sink in, for they know of what they speak. Amen.
And we will sing this great piece. We will do it twice, since it is very short. If you believe as I believe, and we together pray, the Holy Spirit must come down and set God's people free, and set God's people free, and set God's people free. The Holy Spirit must come down and set.
Holly and Tyler, please come forward. It's good to have you guys here today. I think we've tried this three times. It's good. Holly and Tyler, you've come to the congregation each with your own faith journey, and you have found here at Glennon Heights a place where your faith can grow and be nurtured. And I want to give you each an opportunity to share with the congregation something about your faith and your walk and your desire to be with us, so you guys can speak from the platform.
Well, I'll go first here. I guess I would just say, just want to share a little bit of what I bring in here, the good and the bad. You know, one of the beautiful things that I appreciate about this church is right outside here. It's in the community garden. It's actually how we got hooked in and decided to stay. You know, somebody said, hey, you can plant your tomatoes here. So we did, and we've been here ever since. So sometimes it's little simple things like that that can really create opportunities for kind of long-term fellowship. So we came, got back from a MCC trip in 2011, kind of hurt and broken, and the church being kind of, not necessarily part of that, but that was a big part of what we were doing in Bolivia was basically church work. And so I was burnt out with it. And so we were slow to get back into any sort of a church congregation. It was just nice to be able to ease in. Prior to that, we have this great example up in Glenwood. We went to Glenwood Mennonite, and I guess I'm kind of telling my story backwards a little bit, but our experience at Glenwood Mennonite, or my experience for sure, really saved my ability to be a part of a church. Coming out of college, I was pretty cynical, and thought that being a Christian meant being a Republican, for example, and I just felt kind of pushed into a box that I didn't quite belong. So, experiencing a community there at Glenwood Mennonite where different ideas and truly different. You know, I was good friends with a guy that was. Had a lot of different perspectives, and there was room for that dialogue, and I just really appreciate that and need that real wholehearted dialogue to grow. So that's one thing I hope to find here and to nurture to some extent here. The other big thing that I would say I bring is my kids and my experience and questions about how to raise them. And that's probably the biggest right now thing on my mind, project that I'm working on, if you will. And I really like how it fits in with the conversation today about kind of coming apart and recognizing that we are a separate community. And that's really what I lean on, what I'm hoping for from this community is just support for some alternative ideas around simplicity and how much is enough and peacemaking. Those are really values that I would ask for you to support us in as we try to encourage our kids in that direction. But then also providing that space for them to explore and make their own decisions. So, that's what I come here with. I guess I'll leave it at that and hand it over to the better half.
Well, he cheated because he read mine and then told half the story. I mean, I guess we have the same story, so that's bound to happen.
She wrote it on my computer.
I'm just going to go ahead and read. If it's duplicated, I'm sorry. I was raised on the Western Slope in a couple of different denominations, but the majority of my youth was spent at Paonia Friends Church. My brother thought that it was important that I attend a Christian university, and I thought it was important what my brother thought, so I went to CCU in Lakewood, and that's where Tyler and I met at a Bible study, which was led by a Baptist minister. I could tell from the classes that I was taking from a Mennonite, David Williams, at CCU, that I was not a Baptist. I loved the social gospel message that I heard from Williams. It seemed very practical, bringing the kingdom of God here and now, rather than just waiting to be rescued. So when Tyler and I moved to Glenwood Springs after college, we found Glenwood Mennonite and Lauren and Kim Martin, who some of you know. We loved that tiny congregation for the 5 years that we lived there. And I was working with Catholic Charities at the time and was getting a lot of social gospel message there. About 2 years after we married, we left Glenwood for an MCC assignment in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. We ended that early because of medical issues and came back to Colorado a bit disillusioned and unsure of God's call in our life. Maybe like a lot of you, we thought we were meant to save the world, and that turned out not to be the case. So we came back to Golden, where we had some friends, and spent a few years not going to church because it was easier not to face all of those questions. And then we had a couple of kids, and it became much easier not to, except I have realized with kids how much we need a community to help us communicate this very simple and very complicated thing called faith. So we're here, and you probably noticed that we're not always here, because between visiting family in Castle Rock and Colorado Springs and the occasional terrible flu we feel we shouldn't share with the community, and our summertime commitment to finding God in nature, i.e. camping, we're not always here on a given Sunday, but this is our church, and you are our people, and we are thankful to have found you, or to have been led here, or however that works. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being committed, and for inviting us to be a part, for accepting us in our broken, clumsy, sometimes half-hearted state. I always leave here feeling really inspired and encouraged by your love for God and your commitment to service. And may God continue to bless Glennon Heights and to share as we share this part of our journey together. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd ask you now to turn to page 794 in the back of your bulletins, and please stand. So we're reading this to you.
Okay.
These persons now presented to you have witnessed to their faith in Jesus Christ and offer themselves as companions in our obedience to Christ. It is our privilege and joy to welcome them into our family of faith. We freely receive you, even as Christ has received us. We open ourselves to fellowship with you in worship, study, service, and discipline. We pledge our willingness to give and receive counsel, to offer and accept forgiveness in the redeemed community. We joyfully accept you as partners, both in the care of our spiritual family and in our mission to the world. Amen and amen. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, no, it's after the